Blog Talk Radio.
Are you looking to take your social technology strategies to the next level? Then do we have a show for you. Social Geek Radio co-hosts AK Stout and Deb Evans chat weekly with innovative technology folks who share their experiences, tips, and tricks to help you take your business to the next level. Social Geek Radio is brought to you by Saying It Social and Deb Evans Consulting, LLC. To learn more about their unique services, including but not limited to speaking, consulting, and training, visit AK Stout and DebEvansConsulting.com.
So this is the Deb Evans part of the Deb Evans and AK Stout, but tonight AK is off doing a training, so she's probably in flight and can't even listen to us live. And my sidekick is Lori W. from Twitter, Lori W. from formerly from Computer Explorers, and my sidekick for many, many years, and now has moved on to a different world. So, hey, Lori, how you doing?
Good, good. Exhausted. Glad to be here. I'm sorry, I'm missing AK.
We're missing AK. Yes, she. July's just. Or I'm moving us into July. June has been a tough one for us. She's been doing some training and traveling, so she wasn't with me last week. She's not with me tonight, and actually, I think she's going to be gone again next week. So, but then she comes back. She promises she'll be back. So tell everybody what you're doing today.
About a week and a half ago, I had the bittersweet time to leave Computer Explorers and start working with Amazing Lash Studios as their director of operations. They're taking their business from 2 stores to 6 and starting franchising. So they needed more of a corporate staff to come on board and help them grow their business. And I was looking for a new opportunity and some new challenges. So it seemed a really good fit.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I love new franchisors. So you're going to watch it grow from the ground up, from no franchisees to, I think, in their pipeline, they already have several potential franchisees ready to jump on board.
Yeah.
Do they already have their signed agreements for a couple right here in Houston?
Yeah, they do have at least one that I know of that they're mm-hmm. just waiting for some space to open up. And
very good. So
I'm learning all sorts of things. You know, Computer Explorers was home based, and I was checking to see if building permits and building plans and what an MEP was and. I'm learning all sorts of things.
Good. Well, thank you for sitting in with us tonight. And I know you know our guest, which is Susan Young, Get in Front Communications, and a Texas resident. I won't say a Texan. So Susan, how are you?
I am well, and I am not a Texan. But I do live in San Antonio, but have that New Jersey accent, as Deb does too.
Yes, and so before we went live, and Lori, actually before you got on, Susan is traveling, and she's in the Northeast, and actually in New Jersey right now. And before she left last week, I gave her a homework assignment. It's like, okay, fine, you can go and have a good time. I wish I were going with you, and you can call into the show, but you must do 3 things while you're away. So, Susan, have you accomplished all 3?
Well, I've started to make a dent. I actually accomplished something that wasn't on the list, but I know you'll be happy with. We had Chinese food. Nice egg rolls. Tonight, pizza from the local pizzeria. I'm working on the cannolis, Deb, and the bagels. So just give me a little bit of time to digest, and I will share my updates with you.
Very good. Yes, I said you got. Now with this week, you know, one of the big social media things this week was Instagram is now has video.
Mm-hmm.
So I told, you know, I'm okay with you a little taunting and teasing. That's fine. You do an Instagram video. I do a Vine video because I'm happy to eat virtually with you since I can't be there, and that's okay. Now, where you are there Wawas?
We passed one on the way. I almost teared up, and then I started applauding. I just can't wait to get in there for coffee in the morning.
So, Laurie, are you familiar with what a Wawa is?
No. I guess I'm from too far northeast. To know what that is.
Wawa. So it's from Wawa, Pennsylvania, but they have convenience stores, which would, I guess, Susan, we'd say like a 7-Eleven or...
I would say it's a little, like maybe a step up from 7-Eleven.
Yeah, I'm trying. So it's a Wawa. So it's a step up from a 7-Eleven. Nothing against 7-Eleven. That's a great franchise.
Yeah.
But Wawa has some of the best ice cream, and it has the best coffee and some of the best hoagies, you know, just a Wawa hoagie is that all that meat and the onions and the peppers and all that stuff. So now I'm really getting hungry again. But yes, please enjoy all those wonderful foods and use all your social media talents to talk to me. I'm okay with that.
Okay, will do.
I'm okay with that. So our conversation tonight was we're going to talk about social media and business, and you just wrote a book, or when did this your last book come out?
It came out right around the holidays, at the end of December or so, or middle of December of 2012, and it's called The Badass Book of Social Media and Business Communication, and it's a Kindle book, which is the first way that I've published in that format, and it's been interesting, and it's been really a lot of fun to put together. And especially the title and the cover was fun.
I bet. So, yeah, we'll have to do another show. You can tell us all about actually the process of uploading into a Kindle and publishing and doing all that. But tonight, some of the things that we wanted to hear from you are those tools that you've shared in the book. And I said it in the beginning that I haven't downloaded it yet, but I've got to go do that. One of the chapters I saw is that there are 8 tools to finding the content that people really want. And I know that's a real hot topic today is, you know, content. How do you find that content and what do you do with that content? So you've got 8 tips that you can share with us on that?
Sure. One of the interesting, and it's most of these are just so easy that we don't even think about them or maybe not familiar with them. The first way that I always recommend is use the instant, auto-completion on Google. So if you start to type in, you know, the auto-complete, if you start to type in, say that the topic is how do I bake a chocolate cake? So if you type in how to bake and then it'll have complete the thought, you know, bake a chocolate cake, how do I bake a, you know, tray of muffins, how do I bake a pizza? So it'll, the 5 or 6 first, you know, most popular searches will be auto-completed for you, and you'll be able to see what people are searching for the most. So if you're looking for content, watch the phrases that appear in the drop-down box, and you type in the first few letters or words of your query, and you'll get a good feel for, you know, if you type in communication tips, for instance, which is something that, you know, those are my, that's my SEO and keyword thing.
Cool.
You know, look at that and then say, all right, what are people looking for? Communication tips on business interviews, communication tips for conflict resolution, communication tips to, you know, better relationships, whatever it is. And so those are the hot topics. One of the other tips on that is to look at webinar topics and conference registration sites of people or, you know, events that are going on in your industry. What are the speakers talking about? What are the workshops involved with? What are the keynotes talking about? You don't have to be at that event, but you'll be able to see and determine real quickly what are the hot topics in your industry. because that's where people are going, and that's where people are, you know, bringing top speakers in and presenters to talk about industry trends. Another way is to examine and look at the transcripts from Twitter chats that are in your industry and find out what are people talking about, what questions are people asking about that they need help with or that they're kind of stumped on. That just a huge vault of ideas there. It just, you know, what are the obstacles? They're right in front of you. Another way to do it is to, which a lot of people do, is to review, you know, your Google Analytics and your WordPress Analytics in the dashboard and, you know, look at the details of how people arrived at your website, you know, the search engines and the referrals, you know, the unique visitors, the page views, the bounce rates, where did they come in, how long did they stay, where did they leave in the process. So there's a lot of tools that can give you, you know, the keywords and the searches. And the words and the phrases are their challenges in the analytics. And so that's your content, basically, if that makes sense.
Does.
Good. Another way to find content that people are really searching for is become part of your customer's network. And what I mean by that is you can discover what your customers want and what they're passionate about, you know, through online forums, through social sites and video hosting sites like, you know, MetaCafe and YouTube. There's all these networking and discussion sites will give you great ideas on how to predict and take advantage of that next big trend. So pay attention. You know, go into those LinkedIn groups and see what the buzz is. What are people asking about and questioning and, you know, having dialogues on and conversing about? Another tip that I always like to encourage people to take advantage of, and, you know, I was a news reporter by trade and have been in the news and PR industry for 27 years now. but a few years ago, you know, the reporters, it was the big buzz was the development of Peter Shankman's project called Help a Reporter Out, or HARO, H-A-R-O. And so what Peter did was he started this on his own, and then his company was acquired by Vocus, which is a PR firm that does social monitoring and media monitoring. And so what HARO does is it's a free repository. It basically connects media outlets and authors with sources and experts. So all you do is subscribe to it. It doesn't cost anything. And they'll email you three times a day, like morning, noon, and 5, 6 o'clock at night, Monday through Friday, with reporters and producers and writers who have very specific queries or requests for sources that they're working on. Now, this could be from, you know, Red Book Magazine or Good Day, you know, Good Morning America, whatever, to Forbes, to you know, American Express Open Forum, to somebody who's writing a book, you know, or to a reality show on television that everybody's very familiar with. So when you look at what stories the media is working on, you know, for that day, because everything's very timely and deadline-oriented, you can use HARO to monitor what reporters are looking for and what's kind of the buzz or the, you know, the story of the day. Another thing is to, you know, I always encourage people to ask for help, and people will say, how do I know what my target audience or my readers want? I say, ask them. Don't ask me. You know, don't make it up. Don't guess. SurveyMonkey or MailChimp, you know, you can just do a poll and pose a couple of very specific questions to your database, asking them what why do they look to you for information and, you know, what do they want you to provide? So going straight to the source, really, you know, there's no room for guesswork. They told you. Now do it. You know, write about this, write about that. They're leaning more towards this issue than that, you know, so you'll be able to figure out the topics. And then the last tip I would recommend is, you know, look at the comments that are posted on your blog, and there's usually clues within there. And, you know, look for feedback and insights that can help to, determine what kinds of issues or concerns readers have, what prompted or, you know, intrigued them to comment or to read. and see if you can glean any nuggets out of those comments and that feedback.
You know, and some blogs, and then I have a question for you too about what if people aren't responding to your blog. But I see some blogs that I read that are very popular, and it blows my mind. I'll open it up, and there'll be 74 comments. Sometimes, as a reader, like I'm at that blog for the content, you know, for whatever the topic is. But as I read through the comments, it just blows my mind that I'll come up with, oh, there's a blog post, or oh, mm-hmm. there's a blog post, or wow, I hadn't thought of it this way. That sometimes the discussions are better than the post itself.
Absolutely, yeah, and that's a terrific point, Deb. You know, I think that there's so many opportunities that we're just not, you know, I would say, going back to the news reporter analogy, is that, you know, my news antennas are always up, and so there's no such thing as writer's block. You know, people say, how do you come up with your ideas? And it's right there usually in front of us. You know, if we open our eyes and take the time to read some of those comments and make some notes and, you know, be a little bit creative and take those earbuds out and listen to the conversations, you know, in the cafeteria line or in the elevator when you're at the conference. What are people talking about? Well, you know, be a fly on the wall. Eavesdrop. It's all there. And pay attention and be aware of what's going on around you.
So then, since we're talking about blogs, what if your blog is not receiving comments? I mean, is there obviously something wrong, or is it that you've provided all the information that's needed and there's maybe I didn't have a call to action, so there's nothing to comment on. I didn't ask a question, or because I do see some very popular bloggers that don't have the comments, like 75 comments. You know, there's just a few.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something I should be worried about as a blogger?
I wouldn't worry about it. You know, a lot of people, and understandably, you know, the ego, oh my gosh, nobody, you know, read this or nobody commented, you know, and boo-hoo. But there's several different factors and dynamics involved with this. One is that I think the most important, because even though you don't have any comments, doesn't mean that nobody read it. And so, you know, it's like somebody listening to a radio program and saying, all right, you know, we're going to take the 10th caller to give away these concert tickets, and only, you know, like 11 people called. That doesn't mean 11 people were listening. It just means 11 people picked up the phone to call to get the concert tickets. So if you're looking for more comments, you know, because of your ego and saying, oh, you know, I had 75 comments, look at me, I think it's important to focus more on what is the content and the writing style that you're putting out there that would engage people at the level that they are stimulated enough, maybe not even a call to action, but that they're moved enough in some way or another to contribute to the conversation. And that comes, I believe, over time, you know, that we're not all, you know, great writers to start with, and it takes time to build up that that mode of communication and that conversation to feel that comfort. And so, you know, at the beginning, you're not going to get a lot of readers. You know, maybe your family members will read it because they feel obligated. But as you start to develop the craft and keep practicing and practicing, it will come. And that's when the comments will come as well.
Very good. Laurie, you still there?
Yeah. I had it on mute because the chair was squeaky.
That's okay. I thought it seemed really quiet. And I see some folks in our chat that are trying to log in to the right Internet Explorer or whatever it might be so that they can hear. I just wanted to make sure I still had you on the line.
Yes, yes, I'm still here.
Okay.
And because I'm listening to Susan and then going, oh, why didn't I think of that? You know, that's why she's the expert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, people will say to me, let me just, you know, lay it on the line here, because I can say this to you, Deb, and I know Laurie, you know, a very director from New Jersey, is that people will say, how did you, you know, learn all this? It's like I lived through it. I did it. You know, I started with you know, no comments on the blog, no readers, and no subscribers to this or that, or, you know, I figured it out this way or that way. You know, everything I suggest is are things that I've done or things that I've experienced. So it's like, you know what, I bombed out too. And I went through this experience, and I went through this process, and, you know, you kind of grow and come out and learn on the other side. So it just takes time and patience.
We can do that. Well, patience, can I do that? That's kind of tough.
Yeah, it's touch and go, but
I might have to mute Laurie on that one. So, talking about blogging and... what's your feeling on having guest blog posts, and then how do you go about setting your blog up to feature a guest blog if you think that's something that you should invite?
Yeah, and you know what's funny about the timing of this is that today two people emailed me and asked if they could, you know, post as a guest blogger on my site.
Oh.
And I haven't had that in, you know, a few months. That was the last time that somebody had approached me. I've approached other people and, you know, back and forth here. But it was funny that the timing of this was, I'm like, wow, the universe works in funny ways. The reasons to invite a guest blogger is, one, if you invite somebody who is, you know, prominent or, you know, someone that you admire and respect in your field, and in your industry and has, you know, good traction and a good name, they'll bring their engaged audience with them. And so you'll be exposed to, you know, a new, you know, set of people and new followers of theirs over on your site. So that's always a good thing. And they'll be exposed to your blog probably for the first time and your archives and your business and your website. So it gives the opportunity to really open up some of that networking circle that you may not have had that opportunity otherwise. It also will boost your credibility when you, you know, invite a recognized industry leader, you know, your hero or your mentor. You know, they say birds of a feather. You know, hey, look who I'm hanging around with, and you know, somebody who contributed. You know, that'll boost your credibility. And also, you know, a guest blog will also give your readers a fresh style of writing. It gives you a break, but it gives, you know, somebody else a chance to offer their writing and their opinion and their insights, and so that's sometimes just so a welcome change. Guest blogging also builds your visibility when both you and your guest are cross-promoting and marketing. So you're tweeting about this person's post, you know, in your Google Plus circles and your Twitter and LinkedIn connections and Facebook and all that and on Pinterest, and you know, they're doing the same, and so now you're getting, you know, double with the cross-promotion, which is always important. And it also, you know, it gives you a chance to kind of recharge your battery a little bit. If you post, you know, once, twice, three times a week, whatever, and you have a couple of people posting, you know, twice a month, say, as guest bloggers, it just gives you a chance to kind of recharge your creative battery, because it does get, you know, some people do get stumped with content and, you know, getting into a routine that gets a little too comfortable. It also helps with your search engine optimization, your page rankings, name recognition, all the links and that stuff. And then, you know, the guest blogger also will bring traffic to your site, like I say, through, you know, pings and social bookmarks and links and RSS feeds, so that's always helpful as well. I guess the second part of your question, Deb, was about inviting guest bloggers, and how do you do that, or you know, is there a protocol or what have you? Most of the times when, you know, when you're looking for people to, or people approach you to be a guest blogger, is that there's what I have is not a, just some parameters. It just makes it easier. I would say, you know, 400 to 500 words, whatever the word count is. You don't want 1,000 words or, you know, whatever. Tip sheets, these bullet points are always good. Type it up, you know, Microsoft Word, Times New Roman 12, send me a headshot, send me like a one or two line bio box at the end with your, you know, link to your site. You know, what's the deadline? And obviously the first thing before any of this is to decide on the topic. And what's always good about a guest blogger is that I would encourage you to ask people to write about something that you don't typically write about, but is, you know, obviously tied, there's a common thread to what you cover. So, for instance, if I write about everything that's communication-based, and so if I write a lot about blogging and guest posting and how to pitch, you know, your story to the news media, and I have Deb come on and say, well, I want to talk about, you know, I want to do a guest post on, you know, on a topic that she does at presentations, that might not be something that I typically cover. It might be a rarity, but it's also something that is still tied to my overall theme of communication. So I would welcome that. So it's not like, all right, I'm going to come on here and talk about, you know, gardening or quilting or taxes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so far-fetched. So, but again, it gives somebody, you know, somebody's expertise to showcase something a little bit different than what you typically write about.
I mean, how brave should we be? And Lori, I'll ask you this. I'll ask Lori. You know, do you feel brave enough that you would reach out to somebody that you believe is your mentor and ask them to guest blog?
Well, I would ask you.
Oh, you're so cute.
You know,
that was softball, wasn't it?
That was very good. She's very quick.
Yeah.
Well, so then if Laurie were to ask somebody else that, you know, who's...
Well, I think if you were close enough to your mentor, I think you should be close enough to your mentor to be able to ask them to do that.
Yeah.
Not just somebody maybe you admire and you've reached out to once or twice, but you should have that relationship with your mentor that maybe they'd be willing to do that, and it would be an easy question to ask.
So, Susan, the folks that reached out to you today, do you know them?
No, I don't know them. One of them, I checked out their website and saw that she's relatively new to PR and communication. You know, I read a little bit about her, you know, her bio and all that, and said, you know, what topic do you have in mind? Thanks for reaching out. You know, what mm-hmm. did you... What are you thinking about? And, you know, the other one, the same thing. I don't know who they are.
Mm-hmm. So my guess is that the folks that reached out to you are probably someone that they're looking for someone that has more of a following, has mm-hmm. qualifications, criteria, you know, that met that, and they're looking to promote. So for now, you're the expert, and you have been invited to blog. How do you feel about blogging for somebody that's new to the industry and, you know, to help to try to help promote them? Are you okay with that? I mean, that's time that you're not getting paid to do, and they don't have much of a following, so cross-promoting, it's like,
Well, you know, the way that I kind of worked my way up through the ranks here and through the years is, you know, I was very lucky and fortunate to have very kind and generous mentors. And so mm-hmm. when I get the opportunity to do that, and to give somebody a shot or a chance or, you know, the experience to, you know, put something together and use that and, you know, work together on that, I always welcome that. I think that there's, you know, opportunities to learn and, you know, for all of us, you know, I can learn from whatever this guest blogger has in mind and, you know, vice versa. So even though there might not be any, you know, per se, I'm not getting paid or what does mm-hmm. she bring to me? I mean, I might bring something to her, but what does she bring to me? You know, I don't really concern myself with that.
That's nice. Good. Just what I wanted to hear. Well, and I know it's tough. And you know, for, like, blogging and things like that, you've got a busy life. And they're brave enough to ask you. The worst you could say is no. I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, if I'm brave enough to ask somebody, what are they going to say? No thanks? I mean, I get a little brave when I say, oh, I'm going to, and I know I've used this before, but hey, I'm going to Kentucky, and I know Jason Falls is right there, and I'm going to ask him to meet me for coffee, and he doesn't say no. It's like, oh, wow, I'm impressed.
Yep.
And that's the impression I got from, you know, someone like him, too. It's just like, you know, we all started somewhere.
Yeah. And you know, what's interesting is that, you know, the shoe is often on the other foot is, you know, in the last, I'd say, 3 or 4 months, I've interviewed people who I don't really know, but who are in my industry, who from radio and broadcasting and television in New York and New Jersey, who are very prominent. Joe Connolly, who hosts the Wall Street Journal Small Business Report for years on CBS Radio, and I did a phone interview with him, and did a two-part blog series post about pitching news, major news media, and the other topic was about, he just started to talk during the conversation about, people's, about us page on their website and why it was so important, and he offered three tips on how to improve them and why they're so important. So I wound up with that, and I have to still write this transcript up. I interviewed Diane Diamond, who has a criminal investigative reporter, who I used to watch on TV when I was, starting out and stuff. Would watch Channel 2 News in New York with Jim Jensen and Michelle Marsh and Roland Smith and those. I don't know if these names ring a bell to anybody, but this was in the 80s or so, 70s and 80s, and she was covering trials. And when I started to cover trials, and we kind of ran around the same circles and popped up at the same events, and I'm connected with her on LinkedIn, and I'm connected with her here and there, and I asked her to, if she would be willing to speak with me for an interview, and she did it. And it was funny. I said to one of my sisters, I'm interviewing Diane Diamond, and they say, "Get out! What's she doing?" because she was like, she was in our living room every night, talking, on the news.
Yeah.
She was. But anyway, so it works both ways.
Cool. I have to be brave.
Yeah, and like you said, the worst. What are they going to say? No. Okay.
They'll
say
no.
That's fair.
Yeah. I just won't tell anybody I asked. Cool. So I know Laurie wants to know this, and I know I want to know this, because I'm not new to blogging, but I don't do it often enough, and I know Laurie's not new to blogging, and Laurie just did a blog post earlier this week. I actually read that. It was very good. What are ways for us to be that kick-ass blogger?
Well, it's interesting. That feeds really nicely into, what we were just talking about. It's that you feel inspired and compelled to share your message, that it's worthy of somebody else's time, that you're clear on your expertise, that you're confident. You're not afraid to approach somebody, or you're not afraid to come out and say something. You don't panic and lie awake at night trying to figure out your niche. You know what you're good at. You know what you enjoy and what you're passionate about. And you're confident that you have something to share with other people that might not know what you know and could be helped and be served by what you've experienced, and that would help them to be successful or overcome a challenge. So if you're trying to figure out your niche, think about what you're good at. Think about what you know, and the sum of all your experiences. That's what kick-ass bloggers do. They look at their, professional and personal journeys, and they know instinctively what feels right. Like I say, I write about communication, whether it's pitching media stories or writing press releases or doing interviews or conflict resolution or public speaking or sales. But I don't talk about quilting because that's not what I know. And I'm not passionate about it, and I couldn't add anything to a conversation about quilting or taxes or gardening or cooking. Not my stuff. So I stick to what I know. And when you have passion, it's very apparent. But when you lack passion, that causes, a whole different array of problems, because it leads to a lack of clarity, which brings on, mental chaos. I call it confusion, self-doubt. It could lead to therapy. Oh, my God, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. I don't know what am I here for? What's my purpose? Oprah didn't tell me that, or whatever. So it gets, you kind of go in a vortex. But kick-ass bloggers they're past all that, generally. Kick-ass bloggers also, they know that if they need an editorial calendar, they'll have one, and if they don't, they don't. Because what I always say that you have to be compelled to write something. If you have something to say, then say it. You can't go according to a calendar and say, I'm supposed to write three blog posts this week and I only wrote two. Well, if you don't have anything to say, it's not about a quota. It's about having a message that you want to share with people and that people will benefit from. So being trapped by the calendar doesn't work for people who are strong bloggers. They trust their gut. You might have four posts that week instead of three, but you know when you have something to say that you're going to say it. Another way to be a kick-ass blogger is that most bloggers who are not professional writers, they're fine with that. They don't expect to have to be perfect writers or, you know, you can start a sentence with the word and or but, even though we were taught
in school. I remember you telling us that before.
Don't start a sentence with but or, you know, and or, you know, this is not college and this isn't a term paper and you're not getting graded, but it's more about being conversational and being able to write and speak to people like a person. You know, I would say write the way that you speak. And so, you know, it reveals that you have some soul, that you're, you know, you're like everybody else. And so it's not a business paper or something formal or stuffy. It's you revealing a little bit about what you know and who you are. Another one, you know, another point is kick-ass bloggers are persistent. They're the ones who didn't quit. They're the ones that kept writing when nobody was commenting, when nobody was reading, because they knew that they just keep on writing. You're keenly aware that it's going to take a long time to get noticed, but they're committed to it. They have enough faith in themselves that they're committed to practicing and improving. And, you know, the bloggers that really are kicking butt and getting those 75 comments, as you had mentioned, Deb, they're the ones that are watching for those lessons in life and those aha moments and those light bulbs, you know, with critical thinking skills and organization and expression and editing. They understand that, you know, the art of blogging is more than just getting 75 comments. It's going to open up a whole new world of thinking and organization and the gifts that writing brings. So it's really important that, you know, as you move to, you know, to move people, to educate and inform and entertain people, because you're showing your humanity and you're comfortable with it. But you're learning along that journey and that process too. So those are important things. And one other important thing is that, you know, that bloggers that are really popular and confident in what they do, they've studied and they've learned what their audience wants. They're clear in their role of, you know, how they relate to their community and how they engage people and their personalities. They guest post, they analyze the stats and the traffic that we talked about. They offer meaningful comments on other people's blogs, not just, hey, great post, you know, that's funny, or something like that. You know, that they're offering something insightful. They know the importance of strong headlines and titles, and they deliver. They deliver what people expect from them.
Oh, very good.
Well, Deb, I don't know if our mutual friend Cindy is on here, but she should be listening to Susan. Okay.
I see her.
Yeah, she's got the greatest blog, and she doesn't blog that much. And I know it's because she puts too much pressure on herself instead of just letting it come out like Susan's saying, to just, you know, feel that you've got something to say and tell the story.
Mm-hmm. And she just posted a new blog post, but I'll have to read it later.
Oh, and she probably isn't starting any sentences with and but.
No. I know Lori's got a question there.
I know. I'm just, I think a lot of bloggers will be, you know, grateful to, you know, just take that pressure off. You know, I know she just did for both you and I, Deb, that, you know, you don't have to post three times a week if you don't have anything to say. And I don't think many of us get away with the one-sentence blog. But, you know, I'm always, you know, when I work with people that are just starting out or ask them to write a blog post for a website or something, they always ask, how long? And my answer is usually, well, as long as it takes to get the point out. But is there a rule of thumb, Susan, that you usually tell people starting out?
Well, I stick with exactly what you said is, you know, make your point. If it takes 200 words, fine. If it takes 500, you know, this just brings me back to like fourth grade where the teacher would say, you know, write a 500-word essay on why we shouldn't throw gum in Joey's hair. And so, you know, we're just writing and writing and writing with those, you know, yellow pencils, and we're counting the words, you know, on the notebook paper. I just see myself in fourth grade doing this. And at the end, you start to count, all right, I have 450 words. Well, I'm short 50 words. And so you just come up with these, oh, I know, I'll just repeat what I said before. So you're just filling with empty words, which don't add anything to the conversation. So it's not about 500 words. It's about what's your message. Maybe it'll take 550. Maybe it's 300. It doesn't matter. It's as long as your post has a clear flow and logic to it where it brings the reader along the journey. You know, a confused reader sends them off to another page or post. So you want it to be clear, logical, a seamless flow that brings them from point A to point B to point C. My favorite analogy is, it's like calling up a friend and you have nothing to say. And you know, they say hello, and you say hi, you know, and they say, hey, what's up? Oh, nothing. You know, you're just sitting on the phone, and it's like this weird silence. And they say, oh, nothing's new? No. And you sit there again, and it's like, well, why'd you call me? It's like, oh, I don't know. You know, you don't have anything to say. Why would you put that out there? So make sure it's meaningful and worthy of somebody's time.
Right. I also have another question. We talked a little bit before we went on air about the post that you wrote about the lessons, interviews and stuff that James Gandolfini had said about writers. Man, you had that ready to go. Is that one you had written before, or were you just overly inspired?
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, I didn't obviously write it before because who knew that, you know, James Gandolfini was going to die suddenly of a heart attack, and nobody wants that. But I know, you know, from working in the media that, you know, print reporters always have obituaries for people like, you know, Nelson Mandela, for the president,
mm-hmm.
for, you know, just people who are popular that are, you know, might might die. They have the bio parts, you know, already. They just plug in the part of where, you know, what happened. Okay, this person was hit by a car, this woman had a whatever. But when I was a news reporter, so I'm very aware of timely relevance and, you know, getting the story accurate and first. And so when you're able to do that, and when I heard that he had passed away, you know, I just said, well, here are some, you know, fun communication quotes, not only from, you know, insightful from him as a human being, as, you know, talking about the writing on The Sopranos and what it was like to be an actor and communicate in that modality, but also there were some quotes from Tony, you know, from Tony Soprano about, you know, leadership or, you know, things I messed up on and relationships and about, you know, sympathy. Hey, what do you want, a Whitman sampler? You know, like, I feel bad for you. Yeah, right. And maybe it's that connection to New Jersey. I don't know. The guy went to Rutgers and had a communications degree. But there's often, I have other posts, like when Mayor Koch passed away from New York and Dr. Joyce Brothers, just people who have interesting sound bites. That's always what I'm looking for.
So did you just do like a quick Google search, or do you have these quotes that you like sort of filed away, not like sitting there waiting for them to pass, but just
yeah.
So you may have saved for another reason?
Usually, I do keep an ongoing database of quotes from different people, and I do tweet a lot of quotes, cause, and they're in my books and all that stuff. But what I've done is just been able to kind of poke around and find some quotes that are interesting. And, again, it comes back to what do people want to read from me? They're looking for communication. So if there's a quote about, you know, some story about something else that isn't relevant to my audience, I wouldn't pick that one. One of the things that's really important, though, and it's not so much about writing posts about people who have passed away, the obituary posts.
Right.
It's, you know, there's opportunities where you don't have to write anything new or come up with something. For instance, I listened to a webinar where Seth Godin was the guest, and I took some really good notes and there were 5 or 10 or 12 things that he talked about, emotional marketing revolution that we're in. And I used his quotes, and I said, hey, you know, I was just listening to a great webinar. We gave the source from Seth Godin. Everybody knows Seth Godin. Here are, you know, 12 nuggets of advice that he offered. You know, don't yell at the masses. Whisper to the few. In other words, know your niche audience. You know, you can't go on Twitter and expect to, you know, talk to 9 billion people, but just look for the people who are in your niche in your industry, your target audience. So there were things like that. And everyone was like, how did you do that? It's like, I was a reporter. So mm-hmm. I think that way. It's like, well, what was happening? I didn't have to do anything except listen. You know, thousands of people were on that webinar and listened. But I took the initiative to put something together and pay it really close attention and get some really good quotes and put it together in a post, and in an hour it was live.
Wow.
That's like Storify then. So
yeah.
as I'm capturing what you are or you sharing now, I guess I'm mm-hmm. acting as the reporter, and then I'll convert it, and yeah, within the hour I'll have it up at Storify. So I think Storify's helped me listen better. Because that's multitasking, and it gets kind of tough to sit here and say, okay, she said this, and take the notes, and then turn it into a story. But I would suggest that somebody that's not done that before is try listening to, as you said, podcasts or webinars, and use then Storify, see how it looks.
Yeah, and you know, my background goes back to, you know, goes back to recording and radio, you know, tape recorded. Tape record, you know, an interview or a conversation or a speech that somebody gives, and, you know, pull out some of those nuggets. Don't depend on your memory. Say, oh, how am I going to scribble this down? It's going to be hard. But make it easy for yourself. You know, listen to the podcast and pull out some, you know, direct quotes from someone.
Very good tips. Laura, do we have one last question for Susan before we move it to our Geek It Out? I don't even see people yelling yet in the chat about Geek It Out coming up.
Oh, now that you've mentioned it, it's going to be there.
Yeah, I know. I see it
how
now.
How quickly can Dana type?
Okay. Well, I did promise to Susan that we'd let her go so she can go back and have that cannoli that she hasn't had for me yet, and the bagel and the Wawa coffee and all of that fun stuff. But before you go, Susan, share your profile information, your social handles, so we can direct our audience to your site, your book, your Twitter handle.
Sure.
Where would you like to send them?
I appreciate that, Deb. The website is GetInFrontCommunications.com. On Twitter, my handle is at Sue Young Media. I'm on LinkedIn and have a Facebook page too, so it's GetInFrontCommunications and Susan Young. If you go on my website at GetInFrontCommunications.com, there's a, you know, on the top right, the opportunity to click on the book cover, the Badass Book of Social Media and Business Communication, which talks, you know, a lot about all of what we just covered here, about blogging, about business communication, about social media, about pitching stories. So there's just a whole host of, you know, different opportunities to learn there. And, you know, read the blog. There's just tons of stuff there, too. And if anybody wants to guest blog, always welcome that opportunity as well.
There you go. I have a feeling you're going to get an invite from both Laurie and myself. But we also know from experience, Laurie and I know that you're a very good speaker, and you have been a keynote speaker for us in our former life with Computer Explorers. So I don't want anybody to forget that.
Thank you. Yep.
Second. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It was great to talk to you, and I can't wait to watch for those pictures and videos. You have to help me here. I gotta live.
I'm gonna have to go on a 1200 calorie diet when I get back. But in the meantime,
okay.
Here's to a cannoli for you guys.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good night.
Thanks, Lori. Thanks, Deb. Good night.
Bye. All right, Lori.
Don't show me. Don't show me. Don't show me.
ready to geek it out.
We're ready to geek it out. Now, I've got my windows open, and I know you're going to take us somewhere.
I will. But first thing, you know, when you asked me to do this, I told you I would check with the princess to see what all the cool kids were doing.
Oh, yes.
And, so I asked her. She's 17 now, so she'll be too old before long. But she said, well, Mom, you know, Instagram has video now, so no one's using Vine.
I have to tell her she's probably right. I haven't used Vine since I had the Instagram.
And then she said, I think we're all kind of over the whole social network thing. And she says that, but we went tennis shoe shopping last Saturday, and she would try on a pair, and then she was, like, down on the floor tying the shoes, looking on her phone, because she was comparing prices and brands as she was shopping. So I think, you know, they aren't as far away from it as she thinks they are.
Yeah, they're the digital world. So as our friend Cindy and I were talking earlier, I think that term, you know, power in the pocket, that power is still in their pockets. So they're going to be using it.
I don't realize that's what it is, because that's how they've been communicating.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they've been doing things since, you know, they had their phones from, you know,
that's right.
Whatever.
Birth.
Exactly. So then I was trying very hard to find something that hadn't been shared by you or AK or BJ or Dana. And last night I was minding my own business on Facebook, or as Facebook is, minding other people's business. Mashable posted Branch Launches Potluck, a stress-free social network. And, you know, initially I'm like, stress-free social network? I'm not too stressed about my social networks other than trying to keep up with them. But I checked it out, and I signed up, and it can be found at www.potluck.it. And basically, it seems to be a place where, you know, you can connect with your friends, but you just post links, just articles. So I'm thinking that maybe curating as a group, if you were just on there and you just connected with maybe your communications friends or just your franchising friends or you know, or just your political friends or something that people that you had, you know, maybe one real intense thing in common with, that it might be useful that way. I do want to say this is the first social network that I have joined or any of these things where AK Stout wasn't already a member.
Oh, that's a tweetable.
Okay, let's check with friends. And say, oh, your friend AK is here.
And she hasn't used
Solo. You know, it'll go run through and see if you can connect it to your Facebook to see if your Facebook friends are on. You can also do it to Twitter. And your, I ran it through Gmail.
Cool.
I've got a friend request from, I shouldn't have connected it to Twitter. I don't always follow back,
mm-hmm.
but I follow probably 80% of the time, which means I'm following a lot of people I don't know. And
mm-hmm.
I don't want to connect that hard with, you know, 1,200 people, you know. So you might think twice about how you're going to use it or just, you know, I guess as with any social network, you know, going slow.
Mm-hmm.
But I just put two, one that I wanted to share back with our Computer Explorers friends because I haven't let go of that yet. And then I'll, you know, link to my favorite blog that I follow. So that's what I found.
That's it. Good. Well, I have one that this is it's called appsrooster.com, appsrooster.com. And this, I know of this site because the developer and I have become social media friends when Apps Rooster came out with a great app that my grandson loves, and I was asked to test it. So I downloaded it on my iPad, and he loves it, and we play it all the time. And I don't think you can find it on iTunes anymore, so I won't even mention it, what the app is. But what Apps Rooster is doing now is that they review other apps. So the site is always updated with reviews of different apps. And if you go through it, you know, there's several here. I was looking at one of them earlier today that I didn't download it yet, but it's for the iPhone, and it's called Audio Trick, and you can put audio to pictures. I guess it's kind of like Photobabble, which I know you and I have used Photobabble before, but I'm always sending voice text messages or voice messages. And I'm thinking, oh, now I can record my voice and put it onto some really cool kind of picture, which I don't know that AK is really ready for that yet, since I send her video or audio text messages and some of my other friends a lot. But so that's pretty cool.
On my first day of work.
And yes, if I'm driving, I'm going to send them. So instead of replying for, I will tend to look at a text and I'm like, okay, I can't reply a text, but I'm going to record a voice. So, and I do it a lot when I walk. So Jean Gerkoff with Charity Miles has received lots of voice text messages from me because I'll be thinking on my Charity Miles walk and have to send them a note. Something you just mentioned earlier that AK didn't know about, I found another one. It's called tagboard.com, TAGBOARD.com. And if you go to Tagboard, you can enter a hashtag. And then it's similar, and I can't even think of the other sites now, like where you can curate all of the hashtags, like, you know, a Twitter search or whatever. But you can register a hashtag. So I have tagboard.com/socialgeekradio. So when you
brand camp?
I didn't do any of those yet. Now AK found a really cool one that she registered Fran Camp for, but I didn't register Fran Camp under Tagboard, and I can't remember the one that AK had found, but this one too, she said she didn't know about it. So I like that one. I think that's pretty cool.
So this episode was dedicated to those things that AK didn't know about.
It seems so. she sent me a Geek It Out. I don't know that I'm gonna have time to use it. So here's another one. And as a parent, I think you might like this one. This one is called AppCertain.com. AppCertain.com. And what you can do with AppCertain, which you can monitor the apps that your kids are downloading and receive emails and the details of the new app as it's installed. So I didn't download this and I haven't checked it out because I don't have any little kids that are old enough yet to download apps. I just have grandchildren that like to play all my apps.
They don't care what you have to say about what apps they're downloading.
No. Jesus. So looks like that's all we have time for. The operator's whispering in our ear that we have to go. And I do have a couple Geek It Outs that I can use next week, and I'll save those. But Laurie, thank you so much for joining me tonight. And why don't you remind our audience how they can find you?
How can they find me? The easiest way to find me is on Twitter, at Lori W. That's LORRIW. And if you click my profile, it'll take you to my Follow Me page where all my other fun links are.
Good. Yes, and we'll read your blog, and I will see you again here soon. So thank you again for joining us, and everybody that's listening, and again to Susan Young, and go check out her book. I think it's going to be pretty cool, and I'll geek it out with everybody next week. So have a good night.
All right. Good night.
Good night.